Welcome to Dear Alice, a lifestyle approach to interior design.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dear Alice. Today, we are doing listener questions.
Well, this is my favorite episode. I'm going to say that. Oh. It's my favorite series of episodes.
I know, yeah. Me too. We get to see how you guys are living. We get to hear what problems you're having. And we get to help you answer them, which is kind of why Dear Alice was born.
I know.
Right?
Totally.
Because Dear Alice is kind of our own take on Dear Abby, which is an old advice column that they would write in. And we're actually doing that work right now for interior design.
And you're sending in pictures, which is so helpful because then we can really be informative and be like, okay, I know what you need to do now. Let's test.
Yes. Watching us right now on YouTube, you can see Suzanne has got an iPad. She's going to be sketching out your scenes
and giving
you answers.
We're getting tech right here.
We're trying it. We're going to see if it works. We're only going to sketch on one project, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll sketch out others.
We'll see.
Suzanne always says she can sketch better than she can talk. So maybe she'll just sketch everything. We'll see what happens on this podcast. But first, we want to get into what's the worst date you guys ever had?
Oh, man.
Do you want to clarify to the people, you're both married right now?
Yes.
So this is back. And maybe even give the date.
Circa 20.
Say how oldish you were when this date happened.
Okay. I didn't.
You go first.
I haven't dated a lot of people. So I had a couple of, you meet someone online and it's awkward,
That did you do apps, dating apps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But this story was when Mari and I first started dating. So my wife. And it was embarrassing because it was the first time I'd met her family and her entire family. We went to Delta boating at the reservoir.
Yeah,
I'd
you
never
did.
Been there. Delta is a small town in
Delta. Can I help you? Help you? Remember that SNL skit?
No,
yes, I do.
Sorry, that was the Delta airline. But yes, we used to play Delta in high school because I'm from a small town. They're the Delta Rabbits.
Mm. Oh, great.
We were the Richfield Wildcats. Naturally, Wildcat could eat a rabbit. So we always won, which was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
So we're in this, we're boating and we're surfing, behind the boat, and we're like 200 or 300 yards from the shore and the surfboard, and we stop and the surfboard kind of like,
you're trying to impress her.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be like, good and jump in the water and go get the surfboard. Cause it's kind of like taking off, and I cannonball off the side of the boat and the water was murky and I land in the water and instantly stand up. It was below my knees.
Oh,
and I was so embarrassed.
You gotten hurt.
Yeah. I was fine. It was more my ego that was hurt, But everybody was laughing. Hey, that other boat, did you see? That type of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, man, that sucks. I was like, there's no,
he's so cute.
Yeah, everyone was laughing. I was like, oh, it's nice. Yeah. Hey, yeah, we'll see you never. Because...
That
was way embarrassing. But we
trying
got
to be
kids,
so smooth.
Yeah, you just be like nice. I'm like, hey, I'll go out and get it.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Save the day.
I like your punchline to the story. It all worked out. We have two kids. she still married me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
She still procreated with this DNA of mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jess, what about
you? That's great. Guys, mine is a sad tale, and I just don't want to bring us down, but it's a story that you've probably all experienced before. I was, how old was I? 19, 20? Yeah.
What's the year?
The year is, thank you for asking, Sue. The year is is probably,
soundtracked in my head.
It's probably like 1995, 4 or 5. And I had a boyfriend in high school and he had a best friend. And probably like a lot of relationships, his best friend became my best friend. And he was so fun and so funny and more witty than my boyfriend. And I ended up writing him letters because you used to write letters in the old days. I wrote him letters all through while he was in college and he served a mission for our church. And so I wrote him letters for like 2 years, funny and fun letters, like so great, hearing about his experience. I'm still in high school. And then I'm like college aged. And then I come home from the summer and he's home from his mission and he asks me out on a date, and the relationship with his best friend was over by then.
Did you know it was a date going into it?
Well, yeah. He's like, hey, do you want to go on a date? I'm like, yes, we need to connect. Right. Like I haven't seen you in 2 years and I want to hear in real life, cause I've only read letters about all these experiences that you're having out in the world. Cause I'm a girl that's just graduating from high school and I just haven't had the rich experiences yet. I think you're probably in the back of their head. You're like, yes, we can go on a date, but please, like, this isn't going to be romantic. This is just going to be fun because you are who you are and I am who I am. And this has always been our relationship, right?
Yeah. I've been told that before. I was like, no date. You know what I mean? Didn't go on a date. Yeah. So yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Keep going.
Oh, for real? You said no to the date?
I was like, yeah, like that's fine. Cause that's what I was looking for at the time. You know what
I mean?
You
wanted something romantic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I did not. So we go on a date and he's like, we're going to go on a picnic. So he drives me out to this secluded area. There's like trees. There's probably running water. Beautiful. He puts out a blanket. He's been cooking for like days with his mom and made the most beautiful picnic I've ever seen. Oh, man. And professes his undying love for me.
This is friend zoned.
I know.
You guys are so painful. And because I love him so much and we're such good friends and it's so hard didn't cross over from that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just never saw him that way. But I was just saying though too, I feel like today, like being more mature and being older and different things are more important to you the older you get. Mm-hmm. And I had like no life experience back then. I was like, today I could marry somebody that's like my best friend if I'm not even attracted to them. That wouldn't be the first thing on my list, where back then I wasn't as attracted to him. I was attracted to his friend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the leading thing where really we got along more famously and we were more witty and more fun together and the pressure was off. And so I think, I don't know, I feel bad that my lack of attraction kept me from pursuing a relationship with somebody who was such an incredible human.
It all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah,
whatever he is, you know who you are.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Amazing. Okay. Sue, okay. We're stating story.
So Tom, my husband, he was my first kiss, my first real boyfriend. But when I was a freshman in college, I went out and you're a freshman, right? And I was like so into my major and like just dedicated. I got asked out by this guy in our like complex, right? His name was Brandon. And I think he was from like there or Idaho. It's like really close to the Idaho border. Uh-huh. And I was just like, I'll chalk it up for experience. I'll go out on a date with this guy.
Yeah.
Not attracted to him, but like a nice dude. Uh-huh. So we go and like, there's not many places to eat in Logan. So we go, I think to a steakhouse or something, mm-hmm. probably somewhere that's like not super exciting. We go to the steakhouse and he orders, you guys, like, this sounds so petty, but if you're not attracted to the person, if Tom Brady ordered this, cool. Like
you do you, Tom.
Be so hot. Right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Brandon, I think he ordered like a chicken fried steak with like extra gravy. And I like watched him eat it the whole time. And I was just like, you disgust me. This is barbaric. Like there's not be a second date. But yeah, I just like, I completely wrote it off. It's just such an asshole move of me. But he was a great guy. But for some reason, I was just like, you take me to this place and you just like, you order extra gravy on this thing that I've never ever like seen. I'm like, it could have been a raw animal. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. I was watching like him devour a raw animal. So,
I mean, that's a good tip though. It's like, hey, maybe dial back. Yeah.
Until the third date. And I'm like, super
I think though, like if you were attracted to that person, you thought they were fun and funny and they ordered that, you'd be like, that's hilarious.
If Tom Hall ordered it, I'd be like,
that's fantastic. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing hotter. But this guy, I was just, that first date, it was too much. And I was just like, this is disgusting. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm with a caveman right now.
That's funny.
Anyway.
So it wasn't a love connection. You didn't make out in the car afterward?
Sure didn't.
That extra gravy?
No, gross.
Extra gravy breath?
Do not extra gravy.
Well,
it probably was like chicken fried steak or something. And I was just like, what is chicken fried steak? It's delicious, guys. It's like in my 40s, I can say that. It's delicious.
That's awesome.
Not on a first date.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I'm not jumping out of boats anymore. You know what I mean?
No cannonballs for us.
Yes.
For that. Oh, awesome. Man. Okay. That was a good topic, though. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Let's jump into it.
Yes.
Awesome. The first question comes from Carlene McCarthy. She asks, my husband and I are planning to renovate our 1915 Dutch colonial. It's a small, charming house that we are quickly outgrowing with 3 kids. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to renovate the kitchen and add a living room, mudroom, and primary on the first floor. The house currently has the original wood floors with 2-inch strips and an orangish stain throughout. We're not planning to touch the stairs, which has a newish runner up the stairs during the renovation. Do I refinish the floors on the first floor but keep the orange upstairs, or should I focus on keeping the entire house feeling cohesive? Any tips to downplay the orangish hues?
I would say yes. You should refinish the floors on the main level. Here's why.
Not tear out, but sand and refinish, right?
Either or. These floors are not going to look the same when you're done. So whatever's in your price point, you can keep it. I think the 2-inch is really charming.
Super cute.
And that continues to be the part of your home. You're just going to do a lot of sampling on the floors, maybe in a closet area that's less... that nobody's going to see, but you're going to sand those suckers down and you're going to find a stain that is going to really tone that wood to get you a really beautiful color. And then when you can get to the upstairs, you can. But here's why I say that. Because you're doing new work with a new kitchen, a living room, a mudroom, the primary on the first floor, all of these things. And you're never going to want to take your kitchen out or to take all your furniture out to get to those floors. You've got one chance to finally get those floors right.
One shot.
And you're emptying everything out. So you're going to go ahead and fix the floors. Susan's making an Eminem reference of you got one shot. Yeah. But you really do. You've got to put that song on while you're refinishing the floors, because we've got to make them right.
And then when you have telling your husband that you have to pay for the floors too.
Yeah. Here's the bummer is that when you do refinish the floors on the upper level, they might be different colors because the years and the sunshine and everything on those 2-inch floors maybe 2 years earlier, because maybe you're not going to get up to that renovation upstairs for a couple years, but it's on another plane. It's on another level. You got to get it right when you're doing it. You've got to get it all the way right, because you're just, nobody's going to go back and refinish floors.
Yeah.
So, and the orange is going to be such a time stamp and so prohibitive to you loving everything. It's going to make it impossible for you to choose paint. It's going to keep throwing salt in your game. Yeah, it's just not going to be as right as it could. So, yeah.
The floors are just too massive of a thing to kind of distract the eye from. Right?
Yeah,
there's only so many rugs you can throw down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next question is from Hope Myers. She asks, I have a question for you guys. I'm not sure if you've talked about this yet, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on a beautifully designed entry and foyer. How do you engineer that magical first impression? What's your favorite flooring and lighting? What are your thoughts on front doors, hardware, knockers, mail slots, and custom signage, styling, and furnishing? I live in Northern Virginia in the heart of colonial architecture, and I love gas lamps, hand-painted brass address plaques, and grand front doors that are a staple here. However, I've been let down by quite a few functional rather than fashionable foyers. I guess many would be called mudrooms. I love a grand entrance and want to hear your thoughts on how to do this.
Mm. Hope Myers. Fantastic question. We love what you love. Also, Hope, fun fact, I used to live in Northern Virginia myself. I can picture that very well. I also, in Utah today, have a mail slot. I've got a knocker. I've got the dark front door. I've got the side lights. I've got the hardware. And I love it all. And I live in a very casual state. Mm-hmm. So you 100% should lean way in and let's give you the foyer of your dreams or the mud hall. We can make it functional. In a nice big chest in your entry, you could have the mail key. You could have mail sitting in it. We'll make that really functional. But overall, I do feel like that first impression is really, really worth making and doing it right, especially because you have eyes for it. Like, you love that look. You should have it for yourself. So how are we? I guess she said, I guess many would be called mudrooms. I love a grand entrance and want to hear your thoughts on how to do it. How do we give Hope Myers the grand entrance of her dreams?
Hope, again, if you have a picture next time, send it on over, because like then we could like really sketch on it and be like, this is what I would do. And a lot of the entries that we do, the grand entries that we do, we love to do a tile floor.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
By tile, we mean stone. We're cutting marble or limestone. We're cutting that down and making some sort of a pattern, whether it be a check or a harlequin or a plaid or some other sort of rhythm. Yeah. We'll usually use two different color stones, light and dark, or medium and medium, and create a moment. It's almost like a rug that we're making out of tile, right?
And it's like, it's a really agreeable surface, like for all weather. You're in Virginia, so you have stone, like snow. So like wet boots aren't going to like ruin it. And it's like this like really compartmentalized area. you can like do something really cool like that before then you get into like wood flooring that's going throughout. So I love stone. Mm-hmm. I love a pattern. I think that you can like, you know, you can flex a lot of muscle with that flooring. And then I think about all the grand entries that we've done. You think about Rachel Parcells' home. Mm-hmm. You think about Haley's house. Mm-hmm. You think about the Dunn's. Just any of the like our best work has some type of like center hall table. Mm-hmm. I feel like. And like sometimes depending on your staircase, a lot of these homes have a staircase, which is a really grand moment. Whether you do or you don't, I think like between the floor, even like in the Alsing Kennedy house, mm-hmm. like that was a small entry, but I think there's a grandness to it because we did do a great stone and we had like a really beautiful chest with a really grand mirror on it. So I think depending, regardless of like the size of your space, you can achieve that look, mm-hmm. you know, with the flooring choice you make. The stone I think is like key. You can do paneling. I think a lot of these do have a paneling, depending mm-hmm. on your style.
Great finish work
mm-hmm. that just like really sets a precedence before you go throughout the house. Tiger oak, same thing.
Yeah.
Great finish work. You know, center hall table, we love just because it's a moment, whether it's a center hall table or a chest, to like have some buildup of some like big jar with whatever seasonal, some massive branches or mm-hmm. something dramatic, a bowl, some coffee table books to kind of introduce yourself. If it's just a chest, also in Rachel Parcells, mm-hmm. there's a portion of her entry that just has a chest with a mirror mm-hmm. on top of it for you to like check your teeth as you go, but it reflects something. And there's like an opulence to it. And I think it's really, really beautiful. I think like your lighting yes. in a grand entry, I think is like key. If it is a stairwell, we always like integrate some type of sconce, like trailing up your stairwell. Mm-hmm. And we always have like a chandelier of sorts that's going to like drop down on top of center hall table or whatever the architecture is, something to kind of like graduate your eye up and down, mm-hmm. I think creates grandness.
Yeah.
And all this can be dependent on your style. If you're more formal, if you're more, traditional, modern, you can follow any of those and still have something that's considered grand mm-hmm. with those keys, I think.
So, yeah. Love it. Great answer.
Okay. So excited for you.
I'm excited for Hope too. Oh, I want to see it.
And yeah, so many door inspiration. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for you.
Yes.
Send a picture when you're done. I want to see
it all. Yes.
Okay.
The next question is from Mandy Peterson. It's the one where we have the pictures in front of us.
Okay. All right.
She wrote in and asked, Thanks for lighting my creative fire through this podcast. I'm feeling inspired and ready to make our sweet little North Beach condo into something special, going with our new Calm International Surf Cottage theme. We recently moved back in after renting it for a few months, but the one area I feel stumped by is our living room. The front door opens to a long rectangular room with a fireplace at the end. What would you do to make this space warm, inviting, and functional?
Okay, we've been studying these pictures out with you, and we're going to show you actually on the pod. These are a couple of pictures.
I can hold them up while you draw,
friend.
So coming into the space, you can see the front door back here, and then you're walking right into the back of her sofa, which she does have a console or sideboard right behind it, but there's not a sense of entry. She does have a mirror on the wall and then just one chair here in the corner next to her sliding doors. So interesting design conundrum is you have the front door, but then you also have sliding doors. So you want to leave pathways to come in here, which makes it hard because you don't want to block those doors with furniture, right? I do think the room arrangement here is cutting her room in half. And all you're really able to do is have this much of a sitting area like she has. So we think we could really open up the floor plan and rearrange the furniture to get a much grander feel in the space and do a couple tricks with space planning. So Suzanne's working on the space planning. We're drawing this on the iPad right now, so you'll be able to see this on your screen if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not, I'm going to do my best just to describe kind of how we're arranging the room. So
I can talk too.
Yeah, you're great. So these guys can't see anything if they're just listening.
Okay. One thing that you'll notice, like when we do show this drawing up there, is that right now, I don't know if there's a way to do this. I know there's a way. There's always a way. But on your fireplace, one thing I would do is right now it's kind of in the corner and it's not centered. And there is ways you can move your firebox. If you want to go within like this realm, you could move it centered, redo the mantle, and then create a bend in your flue so it still accesses. So it doesn't have to be heavy construction if you're shifting it over that much.
Nope.
So I would do that and I would reface that to do something beautiful, some beautiful mantle. I think right now you're kind of walking in the back of the sofa. And with that, it kind of chops your room. It's long, but it's not long enough. Some cases that we would do like two two seating areas where you walk in, you do walk in like the way you have it oriented, and you create this entry moment. With yours, I think you do need to kind of open it up more. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice in the drawing, we actually took your entertainment section with the TV over it and put it on the opposite wall of where I've drawn the sofa. This way, when you walk into the room, you get to see a really beautiful scene where you see the sofa. You can put a beautiful piece of art above there, a lovely cocktail table, make a really large rug to kind of just like lengthen, like make it approachable and but well scaled. Mm-hmm. On this rug, you'll probably be in the 10x14s, like at least.
It's kind of like, you know, you want to boast your very best features in a space. Mm-hmm. One of the things that she actually has going for her is that she has a lot of square footage. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize the room's big because of how the furniture is currently arranged, because she just wants the sofa to be facing off with her fireplace. But once she does this arrangement, all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, this room could fit a larger than 10x14 rug probably. This is a huge room. So the space planning is going to make it feel grand right from when you open the door. You're going to be like, wow, international beach cottage. Get in here with all my friends, right?
Yep.
We're just really working on the space planning with you. I think the look and feel of the international beach cottage could really like lean way in. One of my favorite things while Suze is drawing is, you guys, Million Dollar Decorators is back on the air. It is on Netflix. This is a show that came out in 2011. Alice Lane was just like 3 years old at the time. And it was like the best thing I had seen on TV at the time. Now, since then, we've come out with, what's the real estate show that everybody loves?
Million Dollar Listing.
Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset, Million Dollar Listing. Like, we see real estate shows with beautiful homes, but we don't see a lot of decorators doing really grand, beautiful work. Mm-hmm. This hopefully will be our job one day. Hopefully we'll have a TV show.
This year.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing? we haven't signed anything. Nothing's happening yet, but
we're manifesting.
Yes. So they're showing design, which I think you guys, if you love this podcast, you need to just at least check out Million Dollar Decorators on Netflix. It's so fun. But one of my favorite at the time was Jeffrey Allen Marks, and he is on Million Dollar Decorators, and he lives in Malibu, and he has this really beautiful, when we're talking about international surf, what's she calling it again?
Like an international surf cottage.
Yes. I want you to look at Jeffrey Allen Mark's house because it is so lovely. The finishes are so pure and honest. He has DeGorney wallpaper with fish swimming on it on one side of the wall in the kitchen, and then just solid glass sliders on the other side. And you have some of these really fun attributes. This house of yours could be like... So in a magazine. Yeah. This house has so much potential. Also because of, you know, the location of it, I think you said was on Newport Beach. So anyway, I'm amazing super, place. Super excited for you. But Suze has been sketching hard. I think you're going to love this new space plan that she came up with.
Yeah, we're going to show you the floor plan as well as like a 3D sketch. But it's amazing how much you can like see the room when you do open it up, and your whole house will feel larger. You're not putting the TV above the fireplace, but you're still giving it something really beautiful to walk into. Mm-hmm. So you're going to do the fireplace centered, hopefully do a rad mirror above that can feel kind of boho, but kind of bring the light back. Mm-hmm. And that'll be really fun to style. And that'll be a moment of its own, but then it's not competing with the TV, which currently right now it is, because that's the first thing you see when you walk in. Mm-hmm. Is this off-centered fireplace and a TV that's also kind of disoriented. So,
and I'll say to the listeners, like anybody on your space planning, you want to consider what your first impression is from the moment you open the door. What are you looking at, right? I think most people kind of are inside the room and they're figuring out like, how do I want to live in this room? You can do that as well. But I think first you've got to consider your vantage points of what's going to be most welcoming and most beautiful to get your space plan right. So anyway, with that, we'll show you what we've come up with.
Okay. Next question is from Liz Johansson. Mm-hmm. I chose this one because of I knew Jess had experience with Brazilian cherry floors.
Sure do. Thanks for asking.
Of course. She wrote, I have Brazilian cherry hardwood floors and I hate them. This home was built in 2002, so no surprise with the flooring selection. I dislike the red tones, and the previous owner had dogs which scratched the floors up quite a bit. Question, can I get the floors refinished and have them bleached a lighter color? I'd rather refinish them if I can, solid hardwood, rather than take them out and replace the entire house. Have you had experience bleaching Brazilian cherry floors? Any thoughts or tips?
Yes, Liz Johansson. My Alice Lane house had Brazilian cherry floors in it. My mother's home today and my sister's home today all have Brazilian cherry floors.
Very familiar.
We're very familiar with it. I too had a puppy at my house and I mopped those floors like it was my job. I did it multiple times a day. That puppy would go out, it would come back in, little footprints everywhere. It's like keeping a black car clean. That's what these floors are like.
The whole day long.
Except they're red.
You can see they're like, it looks red like car. Mahogany.
Mahogany car.
It looks like very variated between mahogany and cherry is kind of what it looks like. There's like dark brownish red and then just, you know, that cherry color. So yeah, the undertones are hard to work with. Oddly enough, I haven't seen the pendulum swing back in this direction yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know when we will start to see more mahogany, but I feel like if it were me, I would take out the floors. Well, here's the thing. I don't have enough experience sanding them down and refinishing them. So I guess that was her question. Is there anything, Corey, you worked with wood a lot. What do you think she could do to keep, here's the great thing about Brazilian cherry. It's so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. I remember my mom saying that nail guns were popping off and like they can barely get it. So it's a
dense material.
It's a really good dense material. It's great for a floor. My mom still has hers. My sister still has hers. I think that they just put a lot of rugs down and, you know, she has carpet and travertine floors and other things breaking it up. And other tones that are working with it. Like her kitchen is cherry. So for you though, Liz, like I can see a lot of white finish work and this house is incredible. I just have to say, yeah, I mean, we'll put these up on the screen for those of you guys watching on YouTube. It's a lovely home. This is a dream house. And I picture this being the kind of house that you would live in your whole life. You do have a lot of TNG wood happening on the ceiling. You guys spared no expense at finish work and everything. So, I mean, that being said, that looks like cherry, right, Corey?
It is.
It matches. It looks its a little warmer, right?
Yeah.
It's like you took like the lighter portion of the Brazilian cherry and threw it up on the ceiling.
It looks like stained pine.
What could she do? Because this is such a hard wood. That means it's really tight and grained. So she probably can't get a lot of soak in with a different type of stain. Can she bleach? Yeah. She can't bleach this or it will look like a hairless cat, right?
Yeah. So
it's
I think
go pink.
Bleaching and then trying to overpower that with going really dark, which you're going to see. Those marks.
It's already so unforgivable.
Yeah. I mean, getting rid of that might help getting rid of the redness. Mm-hmm. It's so hard though. And like dense, like I think, you know how like oak, let's say like it'll, when you put lacquer on it, it'll yellow in the sun.
Yeah.
When this, I feel like the sun is going to turn it red again.
Yeah.
Like almost no matter what you do. But
when we were reading through this, I Googled it just to see if there was like anything on the internet about like refinishing a Brazilian cherry.
Yeah.
All the pictures looked really pink. Like it still like carries that tone. It lightened it up, but it wasn't anything that you're going to be super jazzed about.
Yeah.
And honestly, like this was prettier than some of the, like the refinished ones are. But
also, since there's like a ton of different tones, when you put a dark stain on that, you're going to, you know,
still get highs and
that
lows.
One's, that one's going to absorb different than the one next to it. And it's going to look.
It's still going to feel stripy and exotic for sure. But
yeah. And it might end up looking after you bleach it and then restain it. Like you didn't do a good job. So
yeah,
that might be like a replace the floors, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so too. Or live with it and wait till mahogany's, you know, kind of start
comes back
to
around.
Because you know it will. It's been a long enough time. Beautiful. I feel like my parents probably built their home in the early, like in 2000, 2001, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, up in another 7 years or so, we'll start to see darker, like really dark floors like this come back with more red in them. So that's a thing. I think a walnut floor is something you'll never regret. That seems like a good everlasting darker hardwood. That's just always, always beautiful. Right.
Yep. But medium enough that it's not going to show everything.
Yes. Agreed.
I think that's the key. You don't like to just get rid of like all the wear and tear and the puppy paws. You just need to be medium tone.
In my opinion, like, medium tone is the way to go. Cause always. It's like,
yeah, it gets along with when the floors are lighter or the floors are darker.
Exactly.
When should I mop you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one of our first big clients when we were just starting Alice Lane. She's from Las Vegas and she built this dream house in Summerlin and she had big walnut planks throughout. And that was 15 years ago. I still covet that home and her floors today. Like, I just feel like it's super everlasting. So you could go with walnut. I think it would really go well with everything here. This is such a beautiful home. So that could be a really nice answer. Oak has been trending for a long time. I think in this type of home, an oak would be beautiful, but you'd want to do more of a medium tone and maybe a straight grain or something. Still and then oak, I'm tempted to say probably your husband will shoot me dead. I would say I'd paint that ceiling too.
Yep. Especially if you go to a different wood, because then they'll just clash. Right now they're working with each other.
Yeah.
But any other options would, it'll just magnify the.
Yeah. It's going to, I mean, this is going to look like a Nancy Myers movie, like from Something's Got to Give, this house. It's going to be, it's always going to be a dream house. Yeah. But I just think those woods are so fickle and they're really only good for maybe a decade's time. And I think it's going to always be agreeable if that ceiling are white. It'd be beautiful. Agreed. Yeah.
I feel like age will keep making it more yellow.
Yep.
Like it'll only exaggerate it.
Agreed. Yeah.
Even if you do refinish them.
Yep.
Okay. Nancy Doherty is asking the next question. And she wrote in asking, we are about to build a home. I love the siding shingles on Jessica Bennett's house that I saw on Pinterest. Can you tell me the brand and the color? Do you remember?
Yes, Nancy. I used a product called Michigan Pre-Stain. These are real cedar shakes, and you can have them finished at the factory. And so that's what I did. I chose one of their colors that they bake on the finish in the factory. And my color was color number 3. And again, the
memory
make and model. You know what? At the time, our Coastal Contemporary house on our website is also Michigan Pre-Stain color number 3. So this was just like a style that I was loving, and I got to sort of fulfill, you know, all of my wildest dreams on this.
Kind of that moment of Something's Got to Give.
Yes, it was Something's Got to Give.
Like, I want the house from Something's Got to Give.
We all wanted these beach houses. Yeah.
It was so pretty.
And we wanted real shingles. There are hardy board, which is, you know, a concrete shingle that's going to hold the color forever. Or I don't know how often you'd have to repaint a hardy product.
Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have to repaint something because the paint is what.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not nearly as not nearly as close as a real shingle.
Yeah.
So probably and 10 years.
I knew that going into it. And I was just like, I have to have the depth of seeing that cedar underneath, because the color number 3 is gray, but it's a warm, really natural gray because of the cedar underneath. And there's a lot of depth in those shingles when you get them up on a house, and the variation is more realistic. And it really looks like the Hamptons, where a hardy board house just looks more like stickers.
There's no age to it other than the paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's less maintenance. And I have to tell you, I've been in my house 9 years, and it's time for me to do the maintenance and have a painter come and paint it. And I'm totally fine with it. And I'm going to reach out to,
Adam and I are going to knock that out.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yes. I'm going to reach out to Michigan Pre-Stain and see if I can get a couple gallons of that same color. And then we'll just spray the shingle, right? But you'd put it in the sprayer and spray it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Get up on the ladder.
Yep. Yep. That's what we're going to do. So,
Paints Dragon, just
yes. Yep. Yeah.
I love it.
Awesome. We have one last question from Renee Michelle. She says, I love the podcast. Thank you for sharing your experience and advice. I want to know how to add more romance to our homes. Mm-hmm. Are there colors, furniture styles, decorative items that would add more romance, but still keep the home modern and stylish? What a great question.
I know. Romance. Fantastic. Who doesn't want more romance in their house?
I love that.
Especially after our dating stories.
I know. Jeez Louise. Oh, I keep the spark alive. Let's see.
I feel like when I think of romance, it's always sort of in the fabrics. I'm picturing like drapes puddling to the ground. Or I even think sheers are kind of sexy. Sheer drapery, right? Yeah. And very chic.
I love it.
I think a slip-covered sofa like draping all the way onto the ground brings romance. It feels like you're somewhere else. Not everybody does it. That was tightly upholster things, but these draped sofas that are slip covered, I think are just like a mood. And I do find them very, very romantic.
I think like watery, ambiguous, like lighter tone colors too on the wall where there's some saturations, but you can't identify it. If there's just like something, again, ambiguous.
Yes.
Mysterious about it.
Tones that like help. We look beautiful in too. Yeah. Like something that looks pretty with the skin. Are those more ambiguous, watery? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit warm. Candles,
crystal.
Getting your light bulbs the right temperature. Doing a warmer light bulb, which is hard today because of LED. So we're going to do the
2700 or 3000 max 3500 Kelvin.
Yeah. Go with those warm light bulbs. They make, again, our skin look good. They make the room just feel easy and relaxed. And like you could make out in there, you know?
Should.
Yeah.
You should. I would also say, I think like antique drugs.
Yes.
I think it felt very romantic. Mm. There's just like,
it sounded almost like you said antique drugs.
That too. A lot of those. You'll feel great. Anyway, everyone's going to look awesome.
Especially the antique ones. Man, there's the year. You got the year right with those.
Yeah, Bill, the year that you met. Order that. Oh, shoot. Aside from antique drugs yes. will complement it very beautifully.
I agree.
I think that there's just like something so like, because like it's a little bit faded and a little bit worn, but it's lived a really lovely, rich life. Mm-hmm. You can tell that it just like is quality. Mm-hmm. Just like your love.
Your chandeliers on dimmers, because please. I think low light is always romantic. You're just turning those sconces so and pretty. Lamps on. And if you are going to put on a ceiling light, it's going to be dim.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, all your decorative fixtures, throw that and on then the dimmer.
In your, I feel like in your picture frame should be like black and white photos of like your people like loving and interacting with each other, kissing, piling all over each other, casual moments, nothing too forced.
Sparkling eyes.
Yeah, I like that. Just like those moments in time where you knew that you were in love, I think brings that feeling into the air.
Love notes too. We had a client where, I mean, this is funny because they met at a Nelly concert, but he had it framed in a really great frame in his office. I was just like, snap, tell me about the Nelly concert. He's like, that's where I met my wife. Yeah. So anytime you can that's just cool. like make the walls, like tell your love story, I think is so beautiful.
Yes. He framed his concert ticket. Yes. Isn't that adorable?
So cute.
Yeah. So tell your love story.
She framed it for him.
That's so cute. Yeah. I love that. What else is romantic?
I would say they could be books. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's something like just.
Yeah. Your books tell your story. Yeah. So yeah, I think so. Like beautiful portraiture figure sketches, right? Mm. I think we always love like a nude figure sketch. Nothing that's lovely.
Nude figure sketch.
Well, yeah. And you can decide like, you know, if it's.
Your limits.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's limits to that. There's some people that are more descriptive in how they do it and others that are more private about it.
You know what I think is sexy that I really do? I think we all have it, the acrylic book easel.
Yes.
And I think just like having books that are open and inviting.
Yes.
And you know
like,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
I think it's beautiful to just like introduce a scene.
Totally.
And like, what is the mood of the day and find something that's just like a lover, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, also like you could like put a bunch of love notes and envelopes in the spine or something like that. That could be really lovely.
A candle snuffer for all the candles that you're going to light.
Yes.
So gorgeous.
So many candles. It's going to smell amazing in there. I feel like that's one thing that when you're in love, you're like, he smells so good. I could die, right? So you need your house to smell really great. Throws, sometimes when people throw the throws on more haphazardly, you're always like, oh, it's so romantic, right? Because they're more like...
Not tidy and tight.
Oh, throwing caution to the wind.
We're more tidy and tight, but I do think like...
Versace on the floor.
Yes. Yeah, I think though like a throw on a sofa totally. Is inviting. It's like I could lay down here right now and put that throw over me and fall asleep, or me and my lover can cuddle.
Sounds romantic.
We can spoon.
I know.
You know, there's just something cozy about that.
And hide in front of the fireplace that you'd roll around on.
Fireplace, for sure.
Romantic.
Yes.
So gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love this.
Good.
I feel like mohair, like a rad mohair chair. Like
mohair's
that.
Mohair's velvet.
Yeah.
High texture 100%. Piles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do want to just come Furs. In contact with them and
Yeah. Like when we sit in the Jude chair, there's something just like,
Like,
oh man, this fabric.
I feel great.
Yeah. Hand me a pipe, someone. Give me a pipe.
Yes. Yes. So good.
So great.
Awesome.
Hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
That's really great. What a great note to end on.
I know. About to be Valentine's
also,
Day.
Also, you guys, Renee Michelle said she wants to add more romance to her homes, plural. Isn't that nice? So,
sister.
I'm excited for you.
She's an empty nester.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, I'm just excited for you. It's going to be so pretty. And I think that's a good challenge for all of us. We should all add more romance to our homes.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reignite the spark.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that to us, Renee Michelle. You guys, thank you so much for listening. If you want, we have some really great services at Alice Lane. One of our favorites is our website.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's so good. And we've been working hard on new products to bring them to the masses
to the people
in 2024, and so we have some really fun new collections launching, and we're just so excited for you to see them, check them out, rate and review them, and you can buy some of the things that totally
fun.
We do this like we do it for people
and we do it for us and our clients because we know where the voids are and what we need more of, and then
we create them
but it's even better than what we ever drew up.
Definitely.
Know, because we can control it and make it, you know, that of dreams.
Yes. Is there a collection that you're excited for them to see?
The Marvel collection. There's a couple of pieces that are coming out this year, though. It might be a little bit later. The tete-a-tete is one of them.
Yes.
Gosh, that thing's going to be amazing.
Uh-huh.
Really excited about that. There's some stuff in the Marvel collection. There's a spot table that I'm, have you seen it yet?
Spot table is so beautiful. Yeah, it's really marble. Is. Guys, we're using
a purple Carrera.
A purple Carrera, which is a white marble with purple veins.
Nice.
So pretty.
Speaking of romance.
What's the dimple bowl in, what's that called again?
The Petra.
The Petra.
Marble bowl.
The Petra marble bowl is one of my favorite things.
And then we did a sculpture version of it that kind of sits up.
Yeah. It yeah, looks pedestals. Great on our pedestals. Yeah.
That, yeah, there's a couple of other things that are still, we have irons in the fire, but alicelaneholm.com.
Yeah. Check it out. We want you to see what we've been up to.
Those being a part of like Marble Collection, J. Bennett Collection, what would they find them under? All the new releases.
Yep.
Yes. Under both.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Collections, J. Bennett Collection.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Check it out. We want you guys to see it. You are our people. And so we can't wait to share all the new things with you. So alicelaneholm.com. If you guys have questions for the podcast, please send them to us. We love reading them.
With pictures.
Yes. Yes. With pictures. Yeah. We'll do a better job answering your question. And you can send those to DearAlice@alicelaneholm.com.
Nailed it.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. We're going to catch you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating.